Let's bring up the issue of toxicity of PARP inhibitors in men with prostate cancer. It seems like the side effects are pretty consistent with what's been seen with other cancers. In the phase 3 PROFOUND study, olaparib was generally well tolerated, and the majority of adverse events were mild and included anemia, nausea, fatigue, and asthenia. Grade 3 or higher anemia occurred in about 20% of olaparib-treated patients, and about 16% required discontinuation because of adverse events. The safety profile of rucaparib in the TRITON2 study was also similar to that reported with studies in ovarian cancer and other solid tumors. Overall, the most common adverse events included nausea, asthenia, fatigue, and anemia, and about 10% of patients had to discontinue treatment due to an adverse event. In the Galahad study with niraparib, grade 3-4 adverse events were primarily hematologic, including anemia in about 30% of patients and thrombocytopenia in 15%. About 20% of patients stopped treatment due to an adverse event. It seems like all the PARP inhibitors cause some degree of myelosuppression. Is that your take?
Absolutely. It might be, let's say, a bit different from one to the other. You're right, I have the same feeling as you that niraparib might actually have a stronger effect on platelets than others, but the anemia can be seen with perhaps more with others. So again, mild difference. Like probably you and me were dealing with chemotherapies and you would see more or less of that. The good news from my experience is more about the GI side effects, because I was thinking, you know, before having my own experience, what benefit do we need to see to justify making someone sick from GI tract side effects for months, you know, continuously? And actually, that was really a good experience that I had. Most of my patients do not complain from GI tract side effects, or they're telling me it's generally mild. The anemia is there. And with some other PARP inhibitors, you have actually to dose reduce, or you have to give patients breaks and transfusions. But I think I've never had to stop a PARP inhibitor because of a GI tract toxicity.
Yeah, it's interesting when you ask. There's some people, some of the GYN people use preemptive anti-GI medicines. Other people say it's not much of a problem. I guess the one thing about prostate cancer, I don't know if it has anything to do with anything, but they are on androgen deprivation at the same time. So I don't know whether, maybe there's some kind of interaction, who knows? But it's interesting that I see this patient didn't have any GI effects. He sounds like he's having a great response. I kind of get the feeling that with rare exceptions, these responses don't last forever.
It's probably hard to say because, you know, the current follow-up is not fantastically long in the trials that we have. But I think you're right. I mean, this is very aggressive disease again, and the cancer is able to find ways, unfortunately. And it's true that in most of my patients, after 6 or 8 months, I see a patient experiencing progression, sometimes a little longer, 10 months, a year, etc. This one, for example, has probably 11 months or something now, and really is benefiting clinically and biologically like magic. And it's not unique. I took this one because I saw him 2 weeks ago, but I've seen really a number of men truly dramatically benefiting clinically. Again, we're happy when we see PSA drops, but most importantly, humanly speaking, is when your patient is clinically benefiting. Many of these men are on pain. Again, this is not a good cancer to have. They're very symptomatic locally and at the level of a metastasis. And in some men, it's magic. You really see the symptoms improving and a man coming back to you and basically saying thank you.